Welcome to Webcology. Webcology is the show that takes you into the deepest and darkest ends of the ecosystem on the internet. Our guides will take you on a journey into web marketing and bring you the experts and the information so that you can further explore the web marketing world. Now, here are the hosts of Webcology, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey everyone, how you doing? This is everyone, welcome to Webcology on webmasterradio.fm. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Dave Davies from Beanstalk Internet Marketing. I was out there daydreaming for a second.
Well, it's tough because, like, you and I are friends, right? So it's like I have had that problem where I'm like, oh yeah, right, there's other people listening. We're just talking about what we'd be talking about over like a pint at a conference too, right? So.
Although we wouldn't be doing it as we are right now on the 24th of January, 2019. Just letting people know when this is happening in time, because there's a whole bunch of stuff that happened in the news this week. So much, in fact, we don't have a guest this week. We have news, lots of news, lots and lots and lots of news.
Do we have news, Jim?
We got tons of news. It's been an interesting week in the SEO world. There's been a lot of stuff getting talked about. Start with a little bit of house cleaning stuff. Dan Thieves, he's been on Webmaster Radio on a couple of our shows. I know he was on The Alternative, the show you and I hosted like over a decade ago. Definitely mm-hmm. had him on then. He must have been on Webcology at one time or another, if not serious oversight on our part. I read yesterday that Dan, this is a guy who's made, he's an SEO's SEO. He mightn't be one of the most well-known people in the industry, but he's been around forever and made, like, just one of those guys who's made extraordinary contributions to the industry. Yep. I think, you know, the Dallas-Fort Worth Search Marketing Group, he might have been, him and Bill Hartzer might have worked together to set that up. That's a big contribution. Anyway. Dan posted that he's about $3,000 shy of what he needs for a hernia operation. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's like, yeah, Dan's Dan. He's got a GoFundMe page up, and if people can contribute, that's just, you know, that's just good thing to do, eh?
You know what? And he made it. Mary and I were doing our donation last night, and he was really close. And she looked just a little bit ago, and he crossed it. He made his $3,000 target.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, maybe he needs a spleen. Like,
keep going, people.
Keep one in the desk drawer, just in case. Okay. Well, I'm glad. I love this industry. That's a beautiful thing to hear.
Isn't it? I mean, I love Dan. He was super helpful, and I first met Dan back in 2007. And I don't know if you remember, like, this is going way, way, way back. I wrote version 2 of SitePoint's SEM kit. And this is 2007. And yeah. Version 1 was written by Dan. And so I had taken over the, like, okay, version 2, new author kind of thing. But he was super helpful. And that, as soon as the chats we were having while I was getting that together and at the conferences afterwards were, yeah, super great guy. I couldn't be happier. Did he hit his target?
Yeah. Again, that's wonderful news. This is but it's a beautiful industry. Okay. Do you remember your first year of philosophy classes, Dave? Do you remember how clever you were at the mind game, Schrodinger's cat?
Mm-hmm.
Is the cat dead? Is the cat alive? You don't know. It actually basically exists in both states until you know.
Yep.
Well, Joe Hall has introduced a philosophical question to the SEO world. We're going to call it Schrodinger's Penguin. Schrodinger's Penguin. And it's actually Joe Hall and John Mueller teamed up. They didn't mean to, but they teamed up and they created Schrodinger's Penguin. So a couple of days ago on Twitter, Joe Hall asked, is Penguin dead? Has Google come up with some new link evaluation formula that's gone beyond Penguin? Interestingly, 23% of people said yes, 45% of the people said no, and 32% of the people said not sure. But the thing that was interesting is what John Mueller said. He wrote, things evolve over the years, so all your options could apply. Dude, Schrodinger's penguin! What I think John is saying is that, like, you know, we talked about this a lot. Penguin is built on artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence learns, it goes along and improves itself and reprograms itself. At least that's what we believe Google's does, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fairly reasonable to assume that there's been significant changes in what we perceived to be Penguin from, say, September 2017. To January 2019, yeah?
Yeah.
So, in this case, Mueller's rather cryptic response is actually kind of spot on.
Well, that's I absolutely agree. And you hit the same spot which we did back with Hummingbird, right? When Hummingbird first sort of rolled, or not Hummingbird, sorry, Caffeine. But when Caffeine rolled out, and it was like, okay, this was like a brand new sort of core. Of Google. Well, did Google's infrastructure sort of still live? Well, yeah, but it was fundamentally different. So it kind of lived, but it kind of didn't, right? Like, the old one was dead, the new one was alive, but the new one was built on a lot of the old stuff. And I think that's what he's sort of, to your point, sort of saying here is, yeah, Penguin's nothing like it was. You know, they probably completely rewritten it and then just plugged it into other algorithms or something, right? Like, I have no idea what format it takes. But if you're asking, is the intent that Penguin was built to solve, or the problem that Penguin was built to address, is that still being addressed? Yes. Is it being addressed the same way? No. So, like, is it alive or is it dead? I think it's actually, it's a really, really fun way to think about it. And I love it.
But that was my favorite Twitter exchange of the entire week. Seriously. But more stuff. I mean, more interesting Twitter stuff with John Mueller. Whether Penguin's alive or dead, or maybe it's a completely different bird altogether by now. John thinks, and he's probably, I am actually really agree with him on this, and but this is a dangerous limb to go out on. Dead birds might hang. John is suggesting that SEOs are focusing way too much on backlinks and not enough on content.
Yeah.
And it's funny how he keeps saying this content word.
Yeah.
No, but do you... This is a really hard question to ask, and I'll admit, I've had way too many cups of coffee before going on air. Do you think we concentrate way too much on links in this
industry? No. just no. I mean, you know what, I guess it depends how much you're focusing on links, right? Like, if you had an SEO, okay, yeah, if you were comparing Dave of today with Dave of 2004, where it was like, I just ripped off the, you know, I was an affiliate marketer, right? Like, selling acne cream. It was like, okay, well, just, you know, copy their content right off the affiliate, say, okay, I'll rewrite it enough that it kind of looks unique, and then just links, right? Like, okay, so yeah, if you compare me with then, yeah, but the simple fact is, you need links to rank. If you're in any kind of competitive sector, like I can't even think of where you'd need zero links to your site to rank, right? So do you need links? Yes. So should you be focusing on them? Yes. Should that be the only thing you focus on? No. So, you know, it's like to say you think too much about them. Well, how do you know? Some of us do, some of us don't, right? But do I think links are important? Heck yeah. I've had a client and we've been building content, just building whole sections, hundreds upon hundreds of pages, spot on, fits the user intent, fits the user's needs of both their current client base and future client base. Didn't move the needle. Start building some good links and all of a sudden, just like magic, up they go. So it's not just content. Now, do I think the content helps? Heck yeah, right? Like, do I think they needed that content? Yeah, it's helping their users. It's helping their stick time. It's giving me some stuff to build links to, but It's but the links that are moving that needle.
Equal. The links move the needle.
Yeah. Yeah, the content by itself didn't do it. It made my life easier. Now, do I think eventually it would? Do I think they're ranking for more stuff? And I mean on specific queries, because they were ranking for new queries. So, yeah, their analytics were going up, but it was supplemental content, so it wasn't conversion-oriented, so their conversions weren't moving. Right? It was just, which is fine, right? Like, it's, oh, good, you got more traffic that doesn't matter. So, I mean, fine, your host will deal with it. Don't worry about it. But it wasn't good or bad. Right, it was sort of a Schrodinger of traffic, right? I mean, we didn't, you know, it was just kind of there. It was okay. Neutral.
Was it okay? Yeah.
But their conversion phrases weren't moving without these links. But again, the content gave us a spot to build links to that were good, natural fits, a variety of things because they were resources. So it made the link building a lot easier, a lot more natural. Natural. Let's quote unquote. I was looking to build them. But then I had a place where it actually just made sense rather than trying to fit that square peg in the round hole. It's like, oh, you cover this thing from this region. Okay, well, we talk about that extensively and we have 60 pages on it. Okay. And they're quality pages that serve visitors. But at the end of the day, to say you focus too much on links, who does? I'm sure some people do. I'm sure some don't focus enough on it and they're focusing only on content, right? So... It's a weird statement.
Yeah, but and you make a good point. The first thing I saw when I saw John say this was, well, who is this guy he's talking to, and what's this person's practice like? Is it a link building practice? If so, well, you know, you spend a lot of time thinking about links.
Yeah,
but I think he was talking in general about just about the SEO industry in general. And let's face it, for years the SEO industry did obsess on links.
Oh yeah.
But honestly, that vibe has changed. Like, links are way important. Links are radically important. But Penguin, be it alive or dead, back in the day, which was only 18 months ago, completely changed the game around links. It didn't make link building any less important. But I think there was a generation of link builders, and it's I don't mean this to sound crazy, but they actually cared about their work.
Whoa!
You know, they actually put... No, I'm serious. They were putting thought and hard work into matching the links up with the content that or getting the right links to the right content.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, A, that really did have an effect on Google, albeit, given Google's scope and size, and can't say how big an effect it had, but I think Google certainly noticed it. And two... How to say this? Building good links, strong links, really relevant links will give you a boost. All those rules still apply. But crappy links aren't going to kill you anymore like they used to.
Yeah.
And so I think a urgency in the quality in that side of the industry, and I see this in cleanup jobs that we get, and not necessarily around link building. I do the cleanup jobs for whatever reason. But when I run the Majestic report, I'm just like, what the hell is that doing there? I think that a quality control that Google used to have, the threat of the big wooden spoon that's going to whack you across the top of the head if you got bad links, that's gone. And so I think there may be that may also be a component of what John's saying. It's not such a perilous journey anymore.
Exactly. So, folks, what we're saying is throw everything you can at the wall, because some of it'll stick.
Okay,
I'm not saying that.
We're not really saying that.
No, I'm not at all saying that.
You might be easily mistaken to think Google is.
Yeah, it is interesting when you hear that, and I think it's all in context, right? Like, do I still think that that link penalties can be dumped on you? Yes, right? Absolutely. Do I think you need to build good quality links? Yes.
Sure.
Do I think you need to be worried about those stupid scrapers that you're going to find in your backlink profile if you look, right? Like the scrapers that just have scraped from somewhere else. Like, I don't know. I write for Search Engine Land, and their content gets scraped, and then it links to me, right? Like, am I worried about that? No.
But Google knows that now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and I think that's the kind of stuff they're talking about is, unless you're purposely trying to do something stupid, you're fine. Don't worry about it. Now, of course, you know, black hat SEOs will configure things so it looks like you're intending to, right? But even that's getting very difficult now. So, you know, and there's sort of easier ways to negatively impact SEO, like we were talking about with the changing the open date of locals. Like there's just much easier ways to go about attacking another site. But we're not going to give people a how-to, and I only mentioned that one because it's been solved.
Indeed. Okay, speaking of stupid things SEO's got to do, we got to take a break here on Webcology. How's that for a segue?
Well done.
Yeah, it's 20 past the hour at the time of recording, so it's a good time to take a break. Friend, on behalf of Dave Davies from Beanstalk Internet Marketing, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. You are listening to Webcology on webmasterradio.fm, the 24th of January, 2019. Stick around, we've got a whole bunch of stuff coming up after these messages.
Sit tight and don't move. Webcology. We'll be back after this short break. Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. Top SEOs send you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let Top SEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
Celebrating the best in online advertising, the Web Marketing Association presents the 2018 Internet Advertising Competition Awards. Submit your banner ads, email ads, rich media, online newsletters, websites, and social media campaigns now by going to www.iacaward.org. Deadline for entries is January 31st, 2019. All winners will have their entry highlighted on the Internet Advertising Competition website, as well as receive a handsome trophy to display or a personalized certificate of achievement. Be honored among your online advertising peers by submitting your entry into the Web Marketing Association's 2018 Internet Advertising Competition Awards. Go to www.iacaward.org now.
Webmasterradio.fm. Take your hat off, kick your feet up, and log into the feed. We're here for you 24/7.
Commercials off. Now back to Webcology. Only on Webmasterradio.fm.
Here are the hosts, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Everyone, welcome back to Webcology on webmasterradio.fm. It's like the 24th of January, 2019. It's Jim Hedges, Digital Always Media. Dave Davies from Beanstalk Internet Marketing. And here's a cool thing. There is a war happening in our industry right now. There's a war going down in SEO. It's actually there seems to be a war of quality going on between search engine land and search engine journal. And from a SEO practitioner's perspective, I couldn't be happier about it. Like seriously, search engine land and search engine journal are vying to outdo each other to be a really good publication, and it's wonderful to see.
I know. You know what? It's like the search wars, right? Like between Google and I know it's not big, but like Bing, right? Yeah. Where it's like if Bing didn't exist, Google wouldn't be as good, right? That's the long and short of it. Is they have to try and stay ahead, and you're definitely seeing that over on SEJ and SEL, right? Where it's like they both are vying for the hearts, minds, and most importantly, the eyes and impressions of readers, and it's really making both of them up their game, and it's just wonderful. Both of them, like both of them, have always been very informative, but the news that they're covering and the speed they're covering it and the take they're putting is increasing. And what are they doing?
Search engine land just if there is a quality war going on between the two publications. Search Engine Land just landed their blow this week with an announcement that two really well-known figures in the SEO and the SEM world, Detlev Johnson and Jessica Bowman, two veteran SEOs, are joining Search Engine Land as columnists. Detlev as sort of the bridge between the SEO world, the developer world, with his technical SEO and SEO content for developers column. And Jessica Bowman, who is really like Jessica has been synonymous with in-house SEO for what, 15 years now? 10, 15 years?
Yeah.
And she's going to be, you know, writing about working as an in-house SEO. So congratulations to both Detlev and to Jessica.
Yeah, and I get the pleasure of seeing her next week, which will be great. So I will try and rope her into her show, onto our show.
Please do.
And just as a note, just because I'll do the plug because it's a great read. She gave me a copy when I saw her over at SMX East, and she wrote a book called The Executive SEO Playbook that's actually written for executives who have to deal with pesky in-house SEOs.
So there's no really big words then. Good.
Excellent. Well, yeah, it's geared to like, okay, here's the KPIs you really need, right? Like, which is great because it lets. Often
numbers
SEOs, and you know that I'm focused on the data that I'm looking at. Well, that's not going to be the same data, you know, if you're part of whatever Huffington Post. Let's list them as an example because we can move on to them shortly.
We will.
You know, if you're there and you're, you know, whatever VP, right, or CFO or whatever, these aren't the same metrics, right, that I would be looking at, that they'll be looking at. So I think it's handy to inform the executive, here's what they're looking at and why, and here's what you should be asking, and they can get you that, right? I mean, that's just part of it. It's a book, right, that covers a lot more than that. But I think it is handy, and it's a pretty good and quick read. So,
well, again, if it's for the C-level, as long as it has a lot of good charts, numbers, and acronyms like KPIs, very happy. I'm sorry, I spent the morning writing executive summaries.
Fair enough.
I'm a little cynical about these C-level people. Who are these C-level people and where do they hide them? I want to find them now.
I don't know, but I know that the C-level is a little more protected than those beneath them. Say at, I don't know, Huffington.
Indeed, if you're on the sea level at Huffington, you're, you know, it's probably okay. You're still smoking your cigars, still drinking champagne out of slippers and all the stuff that we know that sea level executives at Huffington Post and AOL do. Okay. There was an interesting thread that's on Reddit that's made it to both Twitter and to Search Engine Roundtable. John Mueller helping people deal with basically flaky canonicals. Did you see the story?
I did. Yeah, I found this fascinating. I'd actually shared it out, but take it away. It's a good story.
Okay, so canonicals exist to direct Google to the correct version of any given page. Now, when you make a page, you're actually making four unique URLs. You use the canonical to tell Google which the page contains the original content, the one that you want to rank on in the search, the one that you want all the juice to go through, etc. Cool. Now, sometimes people design web pages that Google has a hard time parsing through. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hold it. Let me take a step back. Okay, so we got the canonical saying what the correct page is. Sometimes people move their sites from one URL to another, or they make a new website and the URL structure is disturbed for one reason, altered for one reason or another. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So they need to use a redirect to direct traffic that went to the old address to the new right and correct address.
Mm-hmm.
You would also use the canonical tag to identify that this is the correct, right? This is the one that we want to rank, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So some web pages or websites are made using a technique that uses a base HTML page, but the actual content is contained in JavaScripts that need to be loaded individually before Google can parse through their content. Google's gotten good at triggering JavaScripts most of the time, but there are still some types of JavaScript it has trouble with loading, especially if the JavaScript was written incorrectly or somehow installed incorrectly. So, there's a bunch of reasons why a JavaScript or the content within a JavaScript page mightn't get rendered by Google's by Google Spider, by the Google search engine. In this Reddit, and it's a really long thread at Reddit, so it's way worth going and looking into. It's at the technical SEO section of Reddit, or technical SEO page on Reddit. John walks through which types of files Google will have problem processing or parsing through, and what you as a webmaster can do about it. This is actually kind of important, because there's going to be an increasing number of cases where people want to like seriously condense the size of their website, but still pack in user rich content, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they're using Java to do that, but frequently their pages aren't getting spidered. They're not getting rendered at all. Google doesn't know what's in the JavaScripts. So that's that. Check it out.
Yeah, it's you know, I read through it. I'm just going to add it because I'm dealing with a JavaScript site. It's in React, not Angular, which the case they're talking about is Angular, not React. By the way, if you're having to pick and you've chosen Angular, good for you, because that's not where I was at. And we did have to do pre-rendering, right? We had to use Phantom.js to do the pre-rendering. But for folks who, if you do have a JavaScript base, I don't care, Angular, React, whatever. It was actually, and I gave gold to him because it was totally worth giving a little award. Right below John, you're going to see a post by Pidano. Anyway,
yeah, yeah.
Anyway, it references a plugin for Chrome called View Rendered Source. Now you can do this over in, you know, you can see the sort of DOM after the fact, right? Like you can go into developer tools and take a look around and actually see what's rendering through. But if you try and view the source, I know in the build I'm working with, if I just sort of, I'm on an internal page, view source, I see the original, like the sort of default source. Basically, I see the home page, no matter what page I'm on. With this plugin, it's really, really cool because you click it and it shows you, it has three panels. Right on it, it sort of divides up. You remember McDar, and a few of our listeners might remember McDar, how it sort of split up. He used iframes, but this doesn't. Anyway, it splits it into three columns. It shows you the raw. So in this case, I'm seeing the code's homepage, or I'm seeing the homepage sort of HTML. The middle one is rendered, and it's showing me what that specific page is doing. So rendered, what is the code of this page? And then in the right hand side, it shows me the difference. It actually highlights what's changed. Very awesome. So if you have to deal with sites that are written in JavaScript, download. You know, first off, go over to Reddit, find this. You know, give the guy a pat on the back because it was a really good recommendation. I know I love it. I was so stoked when I found this because I've done workarounds. You know, I keep Firefox, as Google bot, because then I can view the sources, but this is just so much easier and you can see the difference. Nice and easy. Great for troubleshooting. I'm already looking forward to hitting the next problem for the first time ever, because I know this will help me isolate it a lot faster. So for our friends, View Rendered Source, great little plugin. I just learned about it recently. So if you're dealing with JavaScript sites, get it, install it, and you'll love it.
Okay, got a couple of minutes before we got to go to our last break, our second break. You've dealt with a lot of publishing, a lot of clients who are publishers, eh?
Yeah.
So, how desperate were you, and towards the beginning of your work with them, how desperate were you to get them into Google News? that was kind of important, right?
It's kind of important.
And I don't know about you, but I mean, I've like contorted like a Cirque du Soleil performer to get clients into Google News in the past. Like it's sometimes it's some serious work to bring them up to snuff, right?
Yeah.
So how would you feel if you devoted all that work? Your clients devoted all that work. You've pushed them around. You've told them what to do. They've invested and made sacrifice. You got them into Google News. You're getting that sudden fire hose of information traffic or information people who really want that information, and they're coming to your client's page suddenly, and then Google News is gone. Like, oh my God! Could you imagine? Like, and Google News is gone. Whoop! And then it's gone. like that's you could I can't even imagine that, eh? You're a European SEO, that might be the case, because Google News is thinking of like pulling out of Europe because European regulators have a dozen different ways that European regulators have kind of gummed up the way that that links on the web work, especially in relation to copyrighted content like you might find in a European newspaper.
Yeah. I mean, you know that I've had problems with Google's use of content. I mean, I've ranted about it, I don't even know how many times, where I'm like, no, you can't do this, but you can't do that. Anyway, you know, where I do think they've taken more than they, and we'll actually talk about one of these instances just in a little bit about video. But in this case here, yeah, the European Union's going, you can't use any of this stuff. This is including images from them. It's including snippets from them. It's including, like, you know, basically, I'm supposed to just go, oh, well, I typed in, you know, whatever my favorite sports team is into Google News. And now I'm just going to get, like, what is Google supposed to do? What do I want? Of course, I want to see a picture of what the team is, and I want to know the title of the story, and preferably, like, a little snippet so I know which news items to click on. And they're making all of that something Google would have to pay to do. Well, Google doesn't want to pay to do that.
and for what it's worth, like, at the scale and consistency Google publishes information, like, what, every nanosecond, it costs a lot.
Oh yeah, and it's just ridiculous, right? Like, I mean, at the end of the day, this is exactly, like, I've never debated since the beginning of Google, should I have a title and description tag show up if possible? Should I have, like, a little image beside my SERP? Right, of course, again, like, they cross the line. We'll talk about that later, but that's never been something that I think anybody's gone, you shouldn't be able to do that. Of course you should. That's how somebody knows that they want to read it. Like, it's like saying, you know what, I know you're a bookstore, but you can't actually show the cover of books or let people read the back so they can see a description of it. All they can read is the title, right? Oh, and don't show the author, right? Like, oh, okay, right? Like, that doesn't work that way. So it's a case of, you know, where, and I hate this, and we see this far too often, where the people in the government responsible for making the laws don't understand what they're doing. Do I think they're well-intentioned? Yes. Do I think there should be some rules around this? Yes. Do I think the government actually needs to hire people who understand what the heck they're talking about and what the implications of what they're doing mean? Well, that's a resounding yes. So it is the case, and for listeners who aren't in the EU, you can head over to SEJ or SEL. Both of them, I think, have posted pictures, but they've actually started testing. Okay, fine, here's what our news results look like. And they've actually started feeding it to some users, I assume hoping that those users will throw back against the government and go, this sucks. But it's basically the news results, and they're formatted exactly the same as ours, except there's a big empty box where the picture would be and a big empty box where the description would be. They're basically going, yeah, we'll just start showing users what you're telling us to show them, let's let that work itself out. I think that was a brilliant move on Google's part to go, let's let your users see what you're telling us they need to do, because we can't pay. Right, and rightly so, they can't.
And if it comes to it, then yeah, it looks as if Google might pull Google News from the European theater, which would be a tragedy for all those publishers who were getting all that traffic.
Yeah.
I'm sure the Germans have a word for happy medium, which is like really, really long and descriptive. I don't know what it is. But there's got to be a happy medium in between. And I understand why the EU Parliament wants to protect the right of content creators. I'm a content creator. I get why content creators' rights have to be protected. But distribution's important too. Like all the I like writing content that people will read. Otherwise, what's the point? You know?
Absolutely. And that's where that middle ground is, where the legislators are coming in with the right intent, I think, but they're not actually understanding what they're writing, so they can't craft the correct solution, right? Which would be, yes, there is a line Google shouldn't be allowed to cross in stealing your content. I think we all agree with that. But at the same time, they need to be able to show enough to make a user understand what they're about to click through to. Now, one of the cases that has just come up, and we're not seeing it full blown. Barry wrote about this just a couple days ago on Search Engine Roundtable. Of course, it was Barry, right? He needed to mention him at least once this episode. And there is a video of this. Is Google testing a video light box on videos in mobile search? Barry wasn't able to reproduce it. I wasn't able to reproduce it. I don't know how widespread this test is, but basically when you click on a video right from the search result, it's just opening up in a light box rather than going through to the video, wherever it may be hosted, be it on YouTube or any other source of that video.
I think I've seen that. I cannot recreate it right now, but I do think I've seen that.
See, and this is where I think they crossed the line. Right, where it's like, no, I produce this video, even if I'm hosting it at YouTube, I want people to my channel because there's other stuff I put there, right? There's the ad of me in my channel. So I think this, where it's just like, oh no, you're just taking the value point, but you're not giving me anything in return as the content producer. This is where I think they start to cross the line. Well, they do cross the line, in my opinion. Like, it's not start. But this is, you know, example number 85,412 of them doing something like this. but this is where I think the problem lies, and this is where we need to create where I don't have a problem with those rules being created, because I, as a content producer, have a right to put my ad around the content I'm producing, even if the ad is just the description of it and my channel where you can subscribe and click more. Right, like that's where I monetize and I'm producing this. So I think that's where Google is crossing the line. So it is something to watch for. As somebody who consumes videos as a searcher, you know, of course I like it, right? Because it gets me out of the clutter. But that's the point. Something needs to pay for me to consume that media. And that's what I think Google and often people are forgetting, is that something needs to pay for that. Even if it's just promotion of you know, my URL on a YouTube channel, something needs to pay for that.
Yep. Speaking of, something's got to pay for us, and we got to do that right about now. So, on behalf of Dave Davies from Beast Marketing and Marketing, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. We got to take a commercial break here on Webcology. We will be coming back after these messages.
Sit tight and don't move. Webcology. We'll be back after this short break.
Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com.
Ready to do a podcast for your business? Make that podcast elevate to enterprise level. Let WebmasterRadio.fm expedite and execute your podcast to build your brand and broaden your customer base. WebmasterRadio.fm has worked with the world's biggest tech brands, Google, Yahoo, and Bing, and have worked with fast-growing brands like ShipStation and GoDaddy. Now it's your turn. Contact BRASCO at WMR.FM and rush your enterprise-level podcast into production at a very reasonable rate. Email BRASCO at WMR.FM.
WebmasterRadio.fm. We're everywhere.
Commercials off. Now back to Webcology. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Here are the hosts, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Webcology on WebmasterRadio.fm. Hedger from Showbiz Media and Dave Davies from Beanstalk Internet Marketing. Dave, I think we are about to run across the hard, fast metal wall of time. I'm not positive, but I do think there's a 3 o'clock show coming up after us. Or we could just stretch it for another 15 minutes. Really,
to heck with them. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay. I'm going to jump to this story while we look for other stories to cover. Remember a couple of weeks ago there was a walkout at Google?
Mm-hmm.
Like Google offices around the world. Zurich, Toronto, Melbourne, New York, Mountain View, etc. People just, you know, walked off the job because Google has, well, not even allegedly, Google straight up, covered for several executives who have been outed as sexual harassers.
Mm-hmm.
One, in fact, left with a $9 million golden handshake, much to the consternation of the people he terrorized while being their manager. So Google has two types of employees, those who work for it directly and those who are like contractors.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a Google employee, like you're employed directly by Google or by Alphabet Incorporated, you're sort of like Class A on Google campus. If you're a contractor, you're sort of like Class B. I don't think they intended it to be like that, but that's kind of how it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, regardless, Class A, Class B, contractor, full employee, whatever, thousands of Googlers walked off the job about a month ago. A couple days later, Google goes and applies to have special protections removed from them. Obama-era protections removed from employees who might have used internal emails or bulletin board systems, or other communication tools that belong to the corporation to organize a protest or a union or whatever against the corporation. So in the United States, workers have a protection. They can use a company's resources to organize workers to protect their rights or to protest something the company is doing, and they can do that without retribution. Google filed a motion with a Department of Labor to remove those protections from Google employees just days after this walkout. Google claims it has nothing to do with a walkout and certainly has nothing to do with its feelings about executives and sexual harassment. It's just sort of coincidental, you know?
Yeah. That's a very googly response. I know it might look like it and act like it, but no. Yeah, I mean, so much for don't be evil, right? Like, you know, I mean, on one hand, I mean, and I understand they are a corporation, and as a corporation, they are saying you cannot use our resources to do something that will cost us, right? Okay, as a business owner, I get it. But when you present yourself with a very specific corporate culture, now you can't do that, right? And that's where it hits. And we were kind of talking, it's sort of what Terry was talking about last week, right? Like, if you're going to make a social stand, you better live up to it. And this is one of those cases where, don't be evil. We're great. We let our people do what we want. Great restaurants, great community. Oh, but you can't do this. Well, no. No, you can't. These are conflicting messages. And so you don't get to do that. If you want to say the first thing, you can't say the second, right? And that's sort of what they've hit here, is a case of, as a corporation, I understand why they're saying you can't use our resources to do something that hinders our business. But I understand that. But don't pretend you have an open corporate culture with free speech and let your employees do what they want to do, because you don't, right? So just don't say that thing then.
For what it's worth, and just in relation to this story in particular,
mm-hmm.
If you find that somebody on your C-level who certainly has the ability to buy a bunch of lawyers and stuff has harassed employees,
mm-hmm.
Stop worrying about their ability to lawyer up and fire them. Fire them without compensation. Fire them. Like, seriously, don't like don't give them a get out of Dodge really expensively card. Just don't sue us.
Yeah. I agree.
That will make your employees, the ones who had the guts to stand up about this harassment, that'll make them feel even more devalued. And I mean, I as I'm saying what I'm saying, I'm understanding the legal implications and how much, you know, trouble you can get into doing the right thing, but you're one of the largest corporations on earth. Don't worry about the trouble so much. Just do the right thing.
Right. Right. Well, and that's, and like, I assume that this actually has a larger, you know, they're sort of seeing the writing on the wall going, okay, you did this. You know, they may even agree as a corporation and go, yeah, that one was fine. But, you know, where does this, you know, stop? Right. So anyway, there is no real right or wrong. At the end of the day, I think both of us agree Google doesn't have the right to say that if they want to present themselves as a company with a specific and open corporate culture, right? You lost your right to do what you're doing right now, regardless of whether you should or should not have that right. You and I could debate that to the end of time and probably have a great time doing it. Maybe we will after the show, but you 100% can't if you're trying to present yourself as Google is. And, you know, that's I think where they're falling flat on their face.
Okay. Oh boy, like, I really want to make this joke segue. I really want to do it. Yeah, because the last one was about sexual harassment. You just can't, you know what I mean? But
yeah.
Speaking of stupid Google moves that fall flat on their... Okay. AMP pages, accelerated mobile pages.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember when they were introduced. I think that was probably November 2017 or so. I remember because that's around the time I had a heart attack. No, it was back in the summer 2017, AMP was introduced, and Google pushed hard because, you know, AMP, the completely stripped down page.
Mm-hmm.
Year and a half on, how focused are you on your mobile AMP strategy? Or strategies, I might say, because you have a number of clients.
And it's probably same with you. If you're a publisher, then I care. that about covers it, right? I mean, if you're not, I basically don't.
Now you've received what, umpteen notices that pages that you're responsible for or have been responsible for sometime in the last 5 or 6 years have made it into the mobile index. It's like, oh yeah, I worked on that site. Well, good for them. So does that prompt you to pay more attention to mobile-friendly stuff like AMP?
You know what? I've always been very concerned. And as soon as we switched over and with the new page speed tools that, you know, that use Lighthouse and, you know, you can get a lot more data, am I paying a lot of attention to the mobile experience and the mobile warnings and the mobile, you know, all of those things? 100%. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you're, for now, in the current iterations, I can't make what I need to happen in AMP, right? you know, in a lot of cases, right? Like with, if all I'm giving you is information, no problem. But as soon as I'm actually trying to sell you things and move you through conversion paths and things like that, no, I can't. And I can't frame it the way I want. And I can't, you know, there's just a lot of things I can't do. You know, and if you, you know, I'm powering JavaScript sites, that's just a nightmare. That's just a path I don't even want to bother. I haven't tried and I don't want to right now. No, I don't. I just got this thing stable right now. So, yeah, I mean, and maybe it's ignorant of me, right? It absolutely may be. Now, if you're a publisher and what you're selling is content, then, yeah, that's where it's, to me, of paramount importance, and all of the purposes can be met in that framework. And I think it makes a lot of sense. But, yeah, as soon as conversions are involved in a, I need to sell you a thing and you need to be able to see it in this way with my brand, right, and all that sort of stuff, it just, no.
By the way, my mistake, it was mid-February 2016 that AMP was formally launched.
Right. Yeah.
It was August or sometime in the summer of 2016 that AMP started being adopted fairly frequently by webmasters. So my mistake. And the reason I know that was a mistake was your friend and mine, Christopher Jones, published basically a history of AMP, bringing us up to where we are now with the AMP project and how it might be useful to webmasters, publishers, to whomever. It was published on the 22nd of January in Search Engine Land, and strong suggest it's an important read.
All right, I'll do it.
You're gonna, hey, you know what? If I were you, I'd be reading this. I'd read the article before next week, dude. You're on stage with Christopher Jones at SMX, aren't you?
Not next week. No, we're not on the same stage. Yeah, I've got some Bing folks on there and stuff. It's gonna be great. You know what? Have you ever? I'm used to doing sessions like I did with Christopher, where there's just two of us. You have like 20 to 30 minutes, right? No problem. Make your point. Well, in this one, there's four of us, and Barry's decided, because Barry's the moderator, we've each got 10. And have you ever tried to pack 20 to 30 minutes of information into 10 minutes?
Yes, I do it every week.
Yeah, and you know what? I will say, it is probably the most fun deck I've ever made, right? Because I'm just like, it's all got to be visual.
Right on.
So thanks to Barry Schwartz for forcing me to make a better deck than I think I've done till now. One thing that I wanted to get out as a PSA, because I know we've only got a couple minutes left. Businesses without offices. This just was announced yesterday. Oh, hey, we get to mention them. This will be the third time. Barry Schwartz. Google My Business has now created a system. Just head over to seroundtable.com and you can. They've actually got a gift that sort of walks you through the scenario. But basically, if you were like a taco truck or whatever, right? And you don't have a fixed location, Google's created a structure for you to get your Google My Business list. Without a fixed address to receive that letter at, you know, or the verification system at. So I loved it. I have dealt with this in the past where it's just like, oh, okay, that's, yeah, you know, it doesn't have a fixed address, or like a campground, like think of a campground or, you know, something like that where it's like, you can't get mail. You can't mail something there.
Moreover, there's like home businesses that use, say, post office addresses.
Yeah,
post office boxes. I run my business out of my spare bedroom, and I use a post office box. I'm not, you know, like I'm not getting a Google My Business page for my home,
right?
And I'm certainly not getting one for my post office box, because until now they didn't let me.
Right. So this is, and now you can. You just have to. Well, I don't even think you have to, but you can go. Here's my service area, right? Like here's the area that I cover. So yeah, I. There
Entire
you go.
Entire world. Do that with a taco truck.
yeah, kind of hits us a little different in our industry. But I appreciated it. I like what they just did there, because I think there's a lot of businesses, I can think of many of them, that are like, you know, one of my favorite places to eat in the city I'm in is Taco Justice. It's a truck. They can't get mail. Now they can have a Google My Business listing. And they should, right? And they actually are a pretty fixed address. They actually are located normally in one location. So they just can't get mail there. So anyway, I'm happy about it. And there we go. So if you weren't able to until now, give Google My Business a look. You may be able to get your business listed now if you are a little more mobile and couldn't receive that verification card.
Yeah, and just for the record, that was published yesterday in Search Engine Roundtable, but Barry has put so many articles out since then, almost suppressed off the front page, so get it while it's hot.
Good point. That's the problem with that guy. He's too busy.
Indeed, eh? Okay, we have gone full circle, gone around the clock and then some. Next week, we will be coming to you from two different locations at the same time. We do that every week, actually. although this time, one of them will be San Jose. The other one is, I'm going to be Toronto. Dave, you're going to be at SMX West next week. So either you or Mary will be joining from SMX.
Yep.
I'll be in Toronto. Until then, friends, you've been listening to Webcology on webmasterradio.fm on the 24th of January, 2019. On behalf of Dave Davies from Beanstalk Internet Marketing, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. Stick around Webmaster Radio. There's more great stuff coming up after the news, and we're going to talk to you next week.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.